Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When God makes us members of his family through faith in Jesus, whether that's through the sacrament of baptism, where he washes away our sins and creates faith in our hearts as children or as adults, or whether it's through hearing his word, the good news about Jesus, that Jesus has paid for all of our sins on the cross and won heaven for us. When God does that, when he brings us into his family, he also calls us to live as his children in the world, as his own sons and daughters, as people who bear his name as members of his family. And so he calls us to live our lives according to his word and his will, which we find in his word. He calls us to do that cheerfully, cheerfully following in the steps of Jesus, our Savior. In fact, he calls us to absolute loyalty to Jesus and his word. This is the loyalty that we promise those of us who have been confirmed in the Christian faith, that we promised to remain faithful to when we made those vows of our confirmation. And that's the same vow of loyalty that we will soon hear these three young people promise today. We vowed to be true to the triune God and to God's word, to Jesus our Savior, even unto death if necessary. And it's about this absolute loyalty to Jesus our Savior and to God's word that Jesus is speaking about in this gospel reading that we just heard. When Jesus says these rather off-putting words, he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now, for those of us who know God's word fairly well, who have been to church a few times or read or heard God's word a few times, this sounds like a flat contradiction from what else we have heard from God's word about Jesus and his mission. Just think about it. From the very first day that Jesus was living outside the womb here on this earth, the day that he was born, choirs of angels announced his birth to those shepherds out in the field, and they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men, to people on whom God's favor rests." And also think about the prophecies in the Old Testament about the Savior and what his mission would be. The prophet Isaiah called the coming Savior the Prince of Peace. And the Apostle Paul insisted that Jesus himself is our peace. And he also wrote in Romans chapter 5, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And we do. We do have peace with God. It's a peace that comes because our sins have all been forgiven by Jesus, by his death on the cross. It's a peace that results from knowing that we have been reconciled to God, that that disharmony with God, that his wrath upon us because of our sins, that's all gone. Our opposition to God from our sinful nature, it's all gone. We're at peace with God through Jesus. But this is a costly peace. It was expensive. It cost Jesus his life to win this peace for us. And there's also a price involved for us who follow Jesus as well. Yes, this peace from God to us is given to us as a free gift from God. There's nothing that we have to do. In fact, as our confirmands could readily tell you, as we've stressed again and again, there's nothing that we even could do to earn or to win this peace from God. It's totally a free gift from God to us, all because of the work of Jesus our Savior. This peace calls us to complete and to uncompromising loyalty to Jesus and to God's word. And that is where the sword and the cross that Jesus mentions in this gospel reading come in. True loyalty to Jesus will certainly bring conflict into our earthly lives. And that conflict even begins, even before we interact with anyone else in this world, that conflict begins within ourselves, in our own hearts, because of the sinful nature that we have inherited from our parents all the way down from our first ancestors, Adam and Eve. When that new man, that the believer in Jesus inside of us, comes into conflict with the sinful nature and its sinful desires, always wanting to go against God's will. What God wants and what our sinful nature and its desires want are two totally opposite things. And so as Christians, we can only survive by daily repentance, by daily being renewed by the good news of God's full and free forgiveness for us through Jesus our Savior. But beyond our own internal conflict with our sinful nature, true loyalty to Jesus will also bring us into conflict with other people, even with people nearest and dearest to us in our lives, as Jesus speaks about so bluntly in this gospel reading we just heard. For example, true loyalty to Jesus means that in the home, for us who are parents, we are committed to raising our children with Christian discipline and with Christian instruction. But the more consistently we as parents try to do this, the more conflict that may lead to between us and our children. Because our children, just like us, also have a sinful nature. And that sinful nature in them also wants to do the opposite of what God wants them to do. And our loyalty to Jesus can also place all kinds of strains on a marriage relationship. If for example, there's one spouse who is not a believer in Jesus and the other who is, or one spouse whose faith in Jesus is stronger and the other spouse has a weaker faith in Jesus. In those situations, the big temptation for us will always be to compromise on what we believe, to compromise on the truths of God's word, to just go along with the flow, not to speak up, not to ruffle any feathers, all for the sake of just having peace and quiet, at least on the outside. What Jesus is telling us in this reading is that this compromise, compromising on the truth of his word, is always wrong. And it always endangers our peace with God. On the other hand, if we are consistently loyal to our Savior Jesus and to his word and to his will for our lives, we'll soon discover that this loyalty results in all kinds of divisions and separations in our lives. True loyalty to Jesus refuses to give in to temptation, to sin, and to evil. Therefore, the loyalty that Jesus calls us to will always bring with it a sword, as Jesus mentions, and a cross, a burden for us to bear. That sword that Jesus refers to is the conflict between what God's word says, what his will demands of us in our lives, in the various relationships and the situations that we find ourselves in, versus what our sinful nature inside of us wants and desires. So, of course, that presents us with a choice and with a challenge. Our first reaction might be, if a clear expression of my faith and loyalty to Jesus is going to invite trouble for me in my life, is going to cause strife and conflict in my relationships, even in my closest, even family relationships, then why not just draw back and be quiet and not cause that conflict? Well, Jesus anticipates that question. He anticipates that pushback from our sinful nature. And so he says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus has called us believers in him, to be lights of his love in the world around us. As Jesus told in another parable, a light is not meant to be hidden, but it's meant to be put on a pedestal to give light to the whole room. It's meant to shine, to bring the light of God's love into this sin-darkened world. And throughout the Bible, we see that God has called us to stand up and to express our faith in him clearly and to live out our faith consistently in our lives as Christians. And so for us believers in Jesus, there is no hiding. There is no holding back, no compromise. Even when such a bold and vibrant Christian faith could mean conflict and trouble for us in our lives. Jesus summarizes it this way. He says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And what he means is that if we value our physical life and enjoyment of the things of this world, our own physical and material well-being and comfort more than God's word and then spiritual things and faith and his promise of eternal life in heaven, and if we have that misplaced priority, that is really to invite death and destruction. Maybe not immediate physical death, but eternal suffering and death in hell if we fall away from faith in Jesus as our Savior. But to value God's word above all else, even if it leads to trouble or persecution or difficulty for us in our lives, even perhaps if it leads to death, we have that value in our lives by God's grace, then we have the sure and certain hope of eternal life and glory with God in heaven as he has promised to all who believe in Jesus as their Savior. Now, it's hard for us to understand this, to really believe it. And of course, we know these truths in our heads, but so often it's so hard for us to put these truths into practice in our lives because we're so used to thinking in terms of the world and its priorities and its values. The world, society around us insists that you have to look out for yourself. You have to protect yourself. You are the number one priority. If you're not okay, then nothing else is okay. No one else is going to look after you, so you have to do it. Instead, our Christian faith, as God instructs us in his word, he calls on us to commend ourselves to him and his care, to put ourselves into his powerful and loving, caring hands. If we don't do that, if we follow our own will and go our own way, really it's sheer nonsense. It's nonsense because it so often leads to persecution from this world. If we do listen to God and follow his ways, we will be persecuted by the world around us. And so the world thinks that to follow God's will and his ways, it's simply foolishness. But in the kingdom of God, of which by God's grace through faith in Jesus, we are all members, citizens of his kingdom, members of his family, placing our lives into God's hands and trusting, committing ourselves to him, doing his will, is really the way to eternal life and to glory, following Jesus and trusting in his salvation. This is the way of the sword and of the cross that Jesus speaks about in our reading. This is the conflict and the trouble that we must face and that we must endure in this sinful world as a result of our loyalty to Jesus. And yet because of God's promise of blessing to us, of his promise of faithfulness and care for us, we have every reason to face those challenges, the opposition of the sinful world around us, cheerfully, because our loyalty to Jesus flows from the peace that God has given to us through Jesus our Savior, the peace that brings us all of the blessings that God promises, including life right now, full of meaning, because we know we are his children, and life full of the hope of eternal life, even after the physical death of our bodies. As we look at our scripture reading, in the closing verses of this reading, Jesus speaks about the Christian's reward. The Apostle Paul also tells us that God's reward for his people is so wonderful that all the suffering that we might face, even excruciating pain and torture and death, is not even worth comparing to the wonderful joy and perfect peace that will be ours in heaven for all eternity, that God has prepared for us there at his side. this reward of eternal life with God in heaven is already ready and waiting for us because Jesus has gone on ahead of us to heaven to prepare a place for us there with him forever. This is the heart of our Christian hope. And this hope sustains us and strengthens us as we live in this world that so often is opposed to the message of God's truth and to his will. As we stand up for Jesus, as we take up our cross daily and follow him, no matter what that might mean, no matter what trouble or hardship that might mean for us in our lives. This hope that we have of eternal life with God in heaven strengthens our determination to keep those promises that we make at our confirmation. Promises to be faithful to God's word, to be loyal to Jesus our Savior in all the circumstances of life. This loyalty will not bring peace in this life, on this earth. In fact, Jesus has said that this loyalty to him will bring sword and cross. But loyalty to Jesus leads to a life full of meaning, full of purpose and direction. And this life following Jesus, a loyalty to Jesus, ends in glory, in the glory of heaven. Our faith and our loyalty to Jesus are inseparable. We can't have one without the other. But this faith is the only kind worth having. This is the faith that God has planted in our hearts. This is the faith that God nourishes and strengthens in our hearts daily and weekly as we hear his word here in church and read and meditate on his word in our own homes, and as we receive the sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus. This is the faith that enables us to face life and everything it throws at us with courage, and even to face death without fear, with confidence and God's promises of what he has prepared for us beyond death. Yes, it's very true that faith in Jesus may also bring trouble for us in our lives, even perhaps in our own homes, in our own families. But consider the alternative. What is life without Jesus? What hope do we possibly have without Jesus? Where's the meaning, the purpose, the direction for our life without Jesus and his salvation? As Jesus said, he alone is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father, no one goes to heaven apart from Jesus. Jesus alone can give us the abundant life that this world cannot hope to give. Only he can give us eternal life in the world to come. Therefore, since Jesus has called us into his kingdom, since he has forgiven all of our sins at great personal cost to himself, since he has promised to give us everything necessary for life and salvation, let's pray to him for his help, for his guidance, for his strength as we take up our crosses daily and follow him. So we may express our faith in him more and more and live for him more consistently each day in our lives. By his grace, let's be loyal to him in everything that we say and do. And if such vigorous faith and loyalty to Jesus brings trouble for us into our lives, so be it. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus as our Savior, we know that we will enter God's eternal kingdom of heaven. That's God's promise to us, and he does not lie. There in heaven, the sword of opposition and strife and persecution will be broken forever. The cross, that burden that we bear for the sake of following Jesus in our lives, will forever be laid aside. The burden will be taken away from us. There in heaven with Jesus, the peace will be perfect, and our joy will be complete with him. So, brothers and sisters, you who have been confirmed already, you confirmands who will make your vows today, and you who may make those vows yet in the future, hold firm to your faith in Jesus, your Savior. Be loyal to him. Live your life for Jesus. and don't be afraid. Even if you never have peace in this life here on earth, it is still your Father's will to give you the kingdom of eternal peace and joy with him in heaven. Amen.